Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
I'm so excited about this year. It's already started out so great. We had such a fun time. Yesterday, we went up to Mao Kong, my first time up there, and ate a bunch of good food and drank good tea. And it was so cold. It was so good to drink hot tea in cold weather. But what struck me was these two guys, these two brothers, and they're the tea masters. So we had this little tea shop, and they're showing us all these different teas and helping us try these different teas. And I love just seeing people who love what they're doing and really understand and have a handle on it. And as they're making that tea, he's talking about why he does everything is thought out. The amount of time that they spend, the types of things that they use, the tools that they use, the kinds of glasses and containers that they use. And every tea is, you know, he knows exactly how it's made and why it's made that way, and so why it's gonna taste a certain way. And that's just amazing when you have someone like that who just knows their stuff. And I don't know about you, but when I entered into last year, 2021, and I reflect back over it, I think, man, I had no idea what was coming at the beginning of last year. And I was totally unprepared for so many of the things that came my way. And coming into 2022, I'm like, okay, God, help me get prepared for 2022 and all that it will bring. I need to know. I want to know everything I need to know so that it comes out like those tea masters. You know, that tea is going to come out exactly how they expected, because they know their stuff. And I wish I knew my stuff about life so that this year would turn out the way I want it to. That's our kind of the goal every year. At the beginning of the year, we make our resolutions and we have our plans, and then life happens. And then we either embrace it or we get run over by it. But we want to just embrace life. And so as I'm coming into 2022, I was just thinking about a couple of books. One of them I've read, the other one I just heard about. And I thought, man, you know, these would be great books if they really did what their titles said. The first one is Everything You Need to Know About Everything You Need to Know About. I mean, just, you know, that's the book of life right there. Just like if I had that book, if I read it, memorized it, then I read the reviews, and there were just two. So not too many people. The first guy said, rubbish. That was his review. Rubbish. You know, one star. Rubbish. The other guy's like, oh, this is great. 5 stars. So here's a book, you know, that's about everything you need to know, about everything you need to know. And one guy thinks it's rubbish and one guy thinks it's great. Probably not the book we want. But here's a great book. One I read many years ago. And it's called All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. Great book. The guy is—he's actually a pastor, but he has a different take on the Bible than we do. And of course, we're right. So anyway, no. But this guy wrote this book, and it's just got some great truths in it that I remember reading. It was written back in 1980s, and I remember reading it and thinking, oh, there's just some simple truths about life there that are helpful. And he says, well, here's what we learned in kindergarten: share everything, play fair, don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. As I get older, I think that's great. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. I thought, you know, that's like chicken soup for the soul. Makes me feel all good, you know. But as we go into life, we realize that life is sometimes in some ways simple, but also much more complicated. And there is a book that actually does teach you everything you need to know. And all of these principles resonate with us because they're all found in Scripture. Because God, who made us, made the earth, and knows what's coming up, He wants us to know everything we need to know. And He's made it available. So everything you need to know is in the Word. The title that they gave us from Every Nation was The Word Helps Us Defeat Evil. But I thought, that's a good title, but I like this one better. Everything you need to know is in the Word. So we've been in this series called Abide, Abiding in the Word. And it's as we started out this year, We just wanted to focus and inspire ourselves and train ourselves and understand why is the Word of God so important? And what does it mean to abide in the Word and to get the Word inside of us? And today, as we wrap up this last sermon, I'm going to one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I feel like I say that every Sunday. This is my favorite verse. This is my favorite chapter. But this one really is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. And for a long time, I had no clue what it meant. But it's the prayer of Jesus. And there's the prayer they call the Lord's Prayer, which is when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. But this prayer is actually an insight. It's kind of like little kids listening in on their parents' conversation. This is one of Jesus' last prayers with his Father. And John, who was the closest to Jesus, happened to be close enough to hear this prayer and write it down. And you and I are included in this prayer. And the Bible says actually that Jesus, even now, all the time, what he is doing is he is praying for us. And if you want to know what Jesus is praying for us, that's why John 17 was written. Because it gives us insight into what Jesus is praying for us. And so today is going to be a little different. We're just going to unpack this chapter on prayer. John chapter 17, let's read verses 1 through 4. This is kind of our main passage. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the Word. And today, Lord God, as we look into this passage of Scripture, we invite your Holy Spirit to really open our hearts and to open the Word up to us. And God, may it be more than just information, may it be more than just inspiration, but truly, Lord God, we pray that we invite your Holy Spirit to come and bring transformation to our lives. That as we learn more about you, learn more about ourselves, more about life, that our lives would be changed to align more with your created purpose for us. That we would grow to be the people that you created us to be. That we would grow to know you, the God who made us, who loves us, who gave himself for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get into today's this passage, John chapter 17, and just sort of unpack the Word of God. One thing you need to always remember as we come into it is there's a perspective that overarches all of Scripture. And that is this, that Jesus loves you. God loves you. Everything that God says, everything that he teaches us, comes out of that place of love for us. The most famous scripture in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And so everything that God communicates in the Word comes out of love for us because that's who he is. And so today, I know that God loves you. I know that you're not here by accident. You're not here just because someone pressured you to come here. I know that God wants you to be here today because he has something to speak to you. And as I go through this chapter and kind of just unpack different truths from this chapter, you don't have to remember all the information, but what you want to kind of do is listen to that inner ear that all of us have, whether you call it your conscience, your self-awareness, but there's a sense, there's this place inside of us that makes us aware of the spiritual realm and aware of God. And today I know that God has you here because he wants to say something to you today. And so as you listen, you don't have to listen to me, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but just listen, say, God, just start the service by saying, God, if you've got something to say to me today, I'm listening. And you just let me know. You make me aware of that moment when you speak to me. We're going to talk about some deep things today. I thought we played that Alpha video, and it talks about all of us. We don't often take time to think about the deep things of life, meaning, faith. And today we're going to talk about, as Jesus was praying, he talked about some of the most important things in life. And so we're going to cover those today, just as we go through this chapter. So here we go. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus, as we talk about the Word, abiding in the Word, we need to recognize that what we preached on earlier, that Jesus is the Word made flesh. God didn't just give us a book. He didn't just send us information. He didn't just give us a bunch of rules or principles to live by. He came himself to demonstrate this is who God is. This is what God looks like. This is the nature of God. And the first thing we're going to look at today in this prayer is, what is God like? It says Jesus is praying this prayer. He reveals to us what we call theology, which is the study of God. And it's discovering, what is God like? And it starts right from the beginning. He says this, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. And so when Jesus addresses God the Father, he doesn't say supreme being. He doesn't say all-powerful judge. He says, Father. And there's a very relational nature to God, because God's intention is that we would have a relationship with him. And so Jesus, as he expressed himself, as he the Father, now I don't understand all of the spiritual realities between God the Father, God the Son, and what that really means. The three made one. You know, Jesus always existed, the Bible says, and was with God from forever. But so how is he his Son? Well, it's not because he was physically born by God the Father, but that it expresses the nature of their relationship. And it's this relationship when the Bible says that we're created in God's image, in the same way that God the Father, God the Son have this intimate relationship with each other, this connectedness, God's intention is that we would have the same kind of relationship with him. And so when he expresses that God is Father, there's something about that that reveals who God is to us. Because when you have a good father, and this is why it's so important, why parenting is such a key thing, and why as a church, we want to help you become, those of you who are parents and those of you who will be, we want to help you become great parents. Because your picture of your father affects your picture of who God is. God's intention is when he calls himself Father, that we'd see him as the one who protects us, the one who loves us, the one who gave us life, the one who trains us, the one who calls us his own and loves us. So we have this picture of God when he calls himself Father. This is what God wants us to know about him. Because who you think God is will determine your view of the world. And so we see different religions have different views of who God is. For some, he's this controlling force that controls us, and we're like automated robots that just do exactly everything that he says. And so we have this fatalistic sense of life. Instead of having control ourselves and creativity ourselves and the responsibility to mature and grow, we just feel like, no, God's ordered everything, and I'm only going to do what he told me to do or forces me to do. I have no choice myself. If that's our picture of God, that's what we see. If we have a picture of an angry God, because our parents were always angry, then we just think God is always ready to punish us and punish someone else. If we have this picture of hierarchy, like, you know, the top dog and the bottom dog and everybody's henpecked all the way down, then that's how we live life. You know, I've got to be better than somebody else. And where am I in the authority scale? And so we're always measuring, am I better than somebody else? And I'm always trying to pull others down and push myself up. If that's our picture of God. And so who you see God to be really affects how you see the rest of the world and how you treat people. Some of us, we see ourselves as God, and that's probably the ultimate foolishness. So theology. And then it goes into what we, the next big sort of, theological word there is missiology. Verse 1 says, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. What is he saying here? He's saying, this is what you're here for. God wanted to glorify Jesus so that Jesus would in turn bring glory back to God. What is that? This is what we call discipleship. It's, Father, what you've given to me, what you've passed on to me, I want to now pass on again. And verse 2 says this, He says, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given him. So Jesus has all authority. And what he does with that authority, the scriptures tell us, is he tells us, go out and make disciples. And so here's what this may be a little confusing, but so let me try to clear it up. Here's what glory is. Verse 4. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So how is God glorified? He's glorified when we accomplish the mission that he's given us to do. And so Jesus said, now I'm giving you a commission. Out of my authority, go and you go teach people what I've taught you. So the God sent Jesus, gave him an assignment. And the glory of God was Jesus accomplishing that assignment. And now Jesus gives us an assignment. And he says, now you go and you accomplish that. And as we do that, what happens is the same glory that comes to God because that comes to us because God's given us life and an assignment goes back to God because we complete that assignment. We do what he's asked us to do. And this is the cycle of life, the cycle of discipleship that God sends. And we go, and then we send, and then all the glory goes back to God. And as we go out to take what God's given us, what we do as we share God with others is we bring them back to God. So being sent out by God, we're being sent out for the purpose of bringing others back to God. And so when we look at life, there's always the circle of life, the cyclical sense of life. Farmers understand it when you grow crops and they produce fruit. And then as the fruit goes into the ground, it composts and the leaves die. It rejuvenates the ground so that more fruit can come out. It's like the cycle. Yesterday we were up in Mao Kong, and this whole week it's just been raining. And if you know weather, there's this cycle of water. So water falls from the sky, goes into the ground, runs into rivers that then evaporate up by the sun and go back into the clouds, and then they hit a mountain and the rain comes back down, and it's just cycle. Our lives function this way. We have this, whether it's our circulatory system of our blood constantly cycling, getting new oxygen and spreading it. All of our bodies, we are recycling machines. That's all we do. We eat food and we give it back out, and it goes back and it nurtures again, and then it raises up more food to eat, and it's just a cycle. And this is how God's created us, and this is what discipleship is. It's this cycle that we receive from God, and everything that we receive from God, we give to someone else so that they then can know God and come back to him. This is what we're created for. This is our assignment. You and I, we've been placed on earth for a mission. You're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to be here. You're put on this earth by God. And his goal is that you would return to him. But that when you return to him, you would bring others with you. And each of us, as we come to God, God then sends us out so that we'll come back to him and bring others back. So theology, missiology, what is God like? Why am I here? The third thing we learn from these first four verses is what we call, the big word is soteriology. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be a person of God? What does it mean to be a Christian? And that's in verse 3. It says, all this is eternal life, that they know you. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Christianity is not about a bunch of morals and rules. It's not about a bunch of religious activity. It's not about a book of information. It's not about a lifestyle. It's about a relationship. This is eternal life, that we would know God, have a relationship with him. Now, for some, that like blows our minds. Like, how can we have a relationship with God? I can't see him. I can't hear him. How do I connect with him? What do you mean? I have a hard enough time relating to the people that I know, you know, that I can see, that I can talk to. How would I have this relationship with God? But that's what you were created for. And that's what abiding in the word. That's why God gave us the scripture. That's why Jesus came to earth. He gives us the scripture, the Bible, so that we can, as we read and study it, we get to know God through the scriptures. We get to understand who he is. And in the objectivity of the scriptures and the reading of the scriptures, we begin to have our spiritual life come alive. And our spirits then begin to connect spirit to spirit with this God who is spirit. And this is what the Christian life is. It's knowing God. It's walking in relationship with him. And this is why we do church. This is why we do things like Alpha. Because we all want to help each other come to know God. We were all created for this. There's something inside every one of us that wants to know God. It's why we always say there's never been a culture or a people group on earth that didn't have some desire to know and worship God. There's no atheist tribes out there. They all worship a God because they just, there's something inside of us that knows that God is out there and we all have a desire to connect with him because that's what we were created for. And the scripture, the reason why we abide in the scripture and abide in the word is because this word leads us to relationship with God. John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8, we'll go down through this chapter. It says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. Verse 8 says, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. So what is this talking about? It's talking about identity. I love how Bertina was sharing earlier that when we talk about God's name, we're talking about his identity, who he is. And how do we get to know the names of God? It's in the scriptures. It's through the word that we read about God's names. And as we read his names, we get to know his identity. And so what the Bible says here is that Jesus manifested his name to us so that we would then know God's identity. And not only would we know the identity of God as we got to know his name, but Jesus says, all those that you gave to me, I have given to you. I have made you known to them. And so how do we know who we are? Our identity is actually found in, as we discover the identity of God, as we begin to understand God's identity, we get to know our identity. Because we're created by God. We're created in his image. And so we are searching for what's life all about? What's my identity? Our identity is found, number one, in our name. And we're named after God. We're made in his image. But it also is found in our origins. And Jesus says this, as I gave them your name, and as I gave them the word of God, the message, I gave them the truth, they now know where I came from. So Jesus is saying, through this, the scriptures, the disciples now understand that I came from the Father. They understand my origin and that I've come to them. And now they are understanding their origin. See, our identity is wrapped up in our origins. As we understand that we come from God, that we're created by God, then we begin to understand our identity and our purpose. You can never really know what you're created for or who you are without knowing the God who created you. And so once we divorce ourselves from the word of God and the truth that God has made us, we have all these strange ideas of where we came from and who we are. And so we think we came from mud, and we think we came from monkeys, and we think we came from all these different things that because we have dirt inside of us and we're made out of dirt, we think that's our origin. No, that's just the tools that God used to create us. Our origin is him. So when we look at a painting, we don't just say, oh, that's a lot of like blue and some yellow and pigment. That's really interesting. No, we look at the painting and say, that's a beautiful house or a beautiful tree. We're not enamored with the kind of oil that they use and say, well, you know, that's an interesting pink oil that, you know, that they made there. No, we love the painting. And so we get so caught up sometimes with the stuff we're made of that we miss the reason for which we were made and the one who made us. and the beautiful picture that we are. And so this picture of ourselves gets all messed up. I don't know about you, it's, you know, I look in society today and we have people who just, we don't know if, I don't know if I'm a boy or a girl or what I am. And we just get all these crazy ideas because we're clueless of who we are when we divorce ourselves from our Creator. And we start looking at just the elements of things that make us up, but not the picture of who we actually are. That comes as we understand our identity. And that comes from God. So Jesus is saying, Father, help them understand who they are. John, if we go that further down in the chapter, John chapter 17, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Verse 12 says, "While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled." And jump on down to verse 14 and 15. It says, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." And so Jesus is saying that we have safety, we have victory in him. In this world, there will always be conflict. The last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he started to pray was, "In this world, you are going to have trouble." In the whole context of this, Jesus is telling them, "You know, I'm about to die. And before I die, every single one of you is going to abandon me." And they're like, "What? What are you talking about?" So Jesus said, "Here's what's going to go down. You're going to have trouble. People are going to hate you because they hated me. The things they're going to do to me and call me are going to make you turn and run from me. But don't worry, it's all going to work out in the end." And they had no clue what was coming. They heard the words, but they had no understanding of the story that would unfold. And then from there, Jesus goes into prayer. And you and I, we have no idea how our story will unfold. But as we connect with God, when we walk with him, when we abide in his word and abide in him, we can know that everything will work out because that's God's promise and that's God's track record. And that's why God says it's so important to abide in that relationship with him. That's why that's what the Christian life is all about. It's getting connected with him, staying in that place of reading the word and praying and staying in fellowship so that as life brings different troubles, as we find ourselves abandoned, as we find things not going the way we thought they would, we can trust that God will always work them out when we walk with him. If we reject him and start just thinking about our own stuff, then all bets are off. But as we walk with God, God will always work things out. This word separates us from the world, but it keeps us from the enemy. We have an enemy. There are people, and there is an adversary who doesn't want you to walk with God. And ever since the Garden of Eden has always been trying to get us away from God. John chapter 17, verse 17 through 19. Scripture says this, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified." So what does this word sanctify mean? The Bible says that the word of God sanctifies us. And that word means to be set apart, to be different than. And a lot of times when we think of sanctification as Christians, this theological word, we think about what we're separated from. And our focus is on what we're separated from. When we think about sin and evil and we become sin-focused. But what verse 18 says, "As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And it's not that what we're separated from. It's what we're separated to. That's important. Because God has an assignment that he wants to send each of us on. But until we separate ourselves to God, we miss our purpose for being. We can't connect to the thing that God created us for. And so a lot of Christians spend all their time, because they're not connected to God and they don't have this connection to God and his assignment, their whole focus on sanctification is sin and the things, the evil that they're separated from. And so we live our whole lives just looking at sin and trying to stay away from sin. And that's not what God created us for. God has this amazing plan for each and every one of our lives. But instead of seeing that plan for our lives, we're just focusing on sin. And then we become very judgmental. We become very critical. And being sin-focused all of our lives just was going to weigh you down. Because sin is negative. Sin is destructive in our lives. Sin brings fear and worry and disappointment into our lives. And if that's all we're focusing on, it's why we see a lot of times in my Christian walk that I'm walking in frustration and disappointment and discouragement. Why? Because I'm just sin-focused. But God calls us not to be sin-focused, but to be focused on Him and His assignment. And when God, like we said before, when God has assignment, it's all about our love for Him and our love for others. And when we're focused on our love for God and love for others, it changes everything. We don't even worry about sin. It's like I always say, you know, I'm in love with my wife. I'm thrilled in the morning to wake up and see her. I love coming home and seeing her. And when I wake up in the morning, I don't think, okay, so what I got to remember the rules. Don't steal from my wife. I shouldn't kill her. One says, don't murder. So, yeah, I got to not murder her today. Just got to remember to keep the knives away. I better not lie to her. You know, and we can live, I can live my whole life like that, like saying, what do I have to avoid not doing to my wife? What's against the rules? But some of us, that's how we treat life and that's how we treat God. Instead of just being in love with my wife, and then all the creativity comes out. I'm going to bring her flowers today. I'm going to take her out to someplace. And we're going to just have fun. What fun thing can I say to her that's going to just light up her world? See, that's the life God calls us into. And when we live on assignment, there's an excitement in life. There's an old saying in the States, in the South, they say, a dog in the hunt. Don't worry about no fleas. You know, when a dog sees a rabbit or is running after a cat or something, it's not worrying about fleas and ticks. It's just going after that thing. It's excited. It's barking. And when we're on track in life, the little things just don't bother us. And this is how God intends for us to live. This is what sanctification is. Is we can go so focused on the call of God that everything else drops away. Last one, John chapter 17, verse 20 and 21. Jesus said, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So now Jesus is talking about you and I in particular. Because we believe because of the words that his disciples wrote. So this is talking about us. He's saying that they all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And this is our testimony. Our testimony is that God sent Jesus, and Jesus has sent us. And until we abide in the word so much that that becomes a reality in our lives and an understanding that we are living on mission, and that there's nothing can shake our faith in Christ and who He was and why He came. When we are overwhelmed with the love of God that would send His only Son to die for us. When we look at Jesus and see that He came to show us what the Father really looks like. Beyond the rules and the rituals. To say this is what the face and the life of the Father looks like. Loving the poor. Healing the sick. Playing with the kids. Forgiving the broken. Raising the dead, renewing the hopeless. See, this is what Jesus came for, to show us the Father. And that's the purpose of reading the Word. It's not so that we get more knowledge and we can put someone else down because we're smarter than they are, which is what we see so much in Christianity, where we're studying so we can win arguments rather than winning hearts. See, this is Christianity. And this is why we read the Word, is so that we get to know Jesus. Because in knowing Jesus and knowing who He was, we begin to understand who we are. And when we understand Jesus' assignment being sent by the Father because of the love of the Father, then we, in turn, begin to understand that we are sent because of the love of Jesus. That's why Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world could be saved. And that's our assignment, to look for those who are broken, hurting, outcasts, and to be the love of God to them. But it will never happen until we really grab a hold of the truth of who God is, because we are so broken. We make Christianity about us. We want Christianity to help me live a more peaceful life, or more, you know, a more successful life. And we think Christianity is all about my bank account and my peace of mind. And it was never meant for that. It's meant so that we could be a testimony. You know, people love to share these days. You just get on Facebook, everybody's got a testimony. What's on your mind today? Is that what Facebook says? What's on your mind today? Let me tell you what. What's on people's minds is not worth hearing about. And what's on your mind? The Bible says his mind's thoughts are so different from our thoughts. You need to get off Facebook a little bit. Get off Instagram and get into the Word. Let God begin to speak to you, and then speak what's on God's mind today. We get so messed up because we see people through our own eyes. And we respond and react to them on our own, based off our own emotions and our own judgments and our own experience, instead of what does God think about that person? And what's God's heart for them? This is what it means to abide in the Word. Is that because of the Scriptures, we make a connection with God, and our relationship grows with Him to the point where we begin to understand what God is thinking in every circumstance. And we begin to sense how God looks at the people that we're interacting with. When we as a church begin to do this, 2022, it's not going to revolutionize your life. It's going to revolutionize your relationships. It's going to revolutionize this church. And our hope is that it begins to revolutionize the community around us. This is the power and the promise of abiding in the Word of God. So I want to encourage you, join with us this year. Let's get into the Word together. Let's seek God together. Let's become more like Him together. Let's encourage and challenge each other to know God better and to become more like Him. Would you stand with me as we close? I never like to leave a service like this without giving an opportunity for each of us just to express our desire to deepen our relationship with Jesus. Wherever you are at in your journey of relationship with Jesus, it's always good just to have that, what do they call that? DTR conversations, define the relationship. There's just good moments to just say, okay, God, here's where I'm at. I remember when we became official in Filipino, official boyfriend, girlfriend. I traveled half around the world to see you. Of course I'm your boyfriend. No, gotta be official, okay? Gotta have that DTR. Well, this is a DTR moment. All of us, we all have a sense of God. But there's moments when we just need to define that relationship, and it helps us to do that. So if you bow your heads with me, we're just going to have a DTR moment with God. Father, we come to you today. Some of us, God, we've just ignored you. Some of us feel like we've never even been introduced to you and don't have any clue what that even means to have a relationship with you. Others of us, Lord God, we just have so enjoyed that relationship. But it's grown dry or stale, or it's faded and we drifted from it. God, in this moment today, we just want to take a moment and say, Lord, renew that relationship. Father, the things in our lives, the sin in our lives, the selfishness, the pride, the things that have separated us from you, forgive us for those things, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. And Jesus, we don't even maybe know how this happens or how it will take place, but we want to just extend an invitation to you to say, come, I want you to be a part of my life. I want you to be Lord, Savior of my life. I want you to be God in my life. And so I invite you in, Lord. Let 2022 be a year of just journey with you, growing in my relationship with you. my love for you, and my love for others. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.